Welcome back into The Mental Game. I'm your host, Brandon Seho, and today I'm going to try to answer a really simple but difficult question. Why was I suicidal? I checked into a hospital 2 years ago because I didn't want to live anymore, and I didn't know what else to do, and I don't even recognize that person that I used to be. So I just wanted to share my thoughts and what I've been thinking about looking back on where I was 2 years ago, hopeless, not wanting to be here anymore, feeling alone, depressed, suicidal, something that I've learned since I started telling my story, a lot of people deal with, and they're scared to speak up. And so if you're struggling, please know it's okay to ask for help. We have to tell our stories to be able to help each other. So maybe if you are, this can maybe help you take that first step to reach out for help, to go to therapy or to check in if you have to, like I did. It's really hard to ask for help, especially as men. And that's why I'm so proud to partner with Man Therapy, which is a amazing initiative to be able to help men just like me that felt weak, felt like we couldn't talk about our feelings, just figure out how to take that first step to ask for help by taking their 18-point head inspection. Go to mantherapy.org. It takes just about 2 minutes, and it can help you so, so much with your mental health. For me, this is emotional. I haven't really sat and thought with these thoughts in a long time. It's crazy to me to think that I didn't want to be alive 2 years ago. And I thought about suicide every second of every day for 3 months. And I don't know why, but I do at the same time. So I want to answer the question, why was I suicidal? I was alone. I was hopeless. I didn't have anyone. I didn't even have myself. I didn't love myself. I didn't love my life, even though I had it all. I had my dream job. I was a sports reporter on the sidelines covering NFL, college teams, everything I had dreamed of since I was 12 years old. But what people didn't know is that I had had that alone feeling since I was 14 years old. I remember the first time I ever thought about suicide. It's a story that I don't really like sharing, but I feel like it can help a lot of young people now. I was 14, freshman in high school, sent a girl a picture. She sent me maybe 10, maybe 15. I didn't show anyone. I didn't say anything to anyone. And I'll never forget a couple of weeks later being in the front row at a high school football game and just seeing everyone look at their phones at once and then look at me and start laughing. And I knew at that moment exactly what had happened. That girl sent the picture all around school. And it was the most traumatizing moment of my life. Still to this day, 16 years later. And I went home that night, and that was the first time I ever thought, I don't want to be alive anymore. I don't want to be here. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to talk to anyone. I'm scared. I'm hopeless. And those next 2 to 3 months at school were really, really tough. No one sat with me at lunch. People didn't invite me to go to the basketball games. I felt alone. And I felt hopeless. And I had no idea in that moment at 14 years old what suicide, what mental health, what depression was. And I also had no idea that that was just the start of this lifelong battle fighting for my life with myself. And it happened again and again and again throughout high school, college, professional life. Not every day, But every month or two, or every few weeks, I would have this feeling of being alone and not wanting to be here. And I thought I was alone and that no one talked about this stuff and no one else felt like me. And I was just lost. And so I eventually got to rock bottom 2 years ago, where I didn't want to live here. I didn't want to live anymore every second of every day for 3 months. I cried every night. I walked across the bridge and thought about jumping off. I was drunk all the time. I wrote a goodbye letter. I took pills. I prayed not to wake up. I just couldn't get this thought of not wanting to be alive out of my head. It was a really tough 3 months. I lost three family members, including my cousin Ben, who was basically my older brother. He had a heart attack at 32 years old. At the same time, I mentioned this feeling of being alone and not having anyone. I'd always dreamed of, you know, the perfect relationship, wife, and future in marriage. And I never really had that. I was single a lot in my life, and I thought I finally found that. And the woman who I thought was that wife, the person I was going to marry, we were breaking up, and it was really toxic, and we both did things wrong, but it tore me apart. And I felt alone. And that's, you know, all of that happening at once just put me in rock bottom. And so looking back at where I was 2 years ago, I want to answer the question, why was I suicidal? And the truth is, I was just alone. And I thought I could never be happy again. And I would never love myself. And there were just so many nights where I would think about taking my own life. It's a really, really scary thought. But when you think about it, every second of every day for days, weeks, months, it takes over. And you don't think you can ever get out of it. I felt that way because I didn't know that I wasn't alone, that I could reach out for help, that I could go to therapy, that other people felt like me. When you're in that spot, you feel like everything is the end of the world and you will never feel better again, but it's possible, you just can't see it. And it was pretty dark for me. I don't know how I got here today, but I know it's because I asked for help. I got to a point where I couldn't do it alone anymore. And I remember finally telling my mom how I feel and what I'm going through. I'll never forget that conversation. I looked at my mom in the eyes and I said, "You don't know this, no one knows this, but I haven't wanted to live for months. I don't know how to live anymore. I need help." And the next day I checked into a hospital and started working on myself. And it's not an ER hospital, you know, where you go after an accident or if you break your leg in a sports game. It's a mental health hospital where, for me, about 10% of the time you spent it with a, you know, therapist, psychiatrist, but 90% of it was in a classroom setting, like at school, where it's people of all ages from 18 to 80 of every race, color, background, creed, job. But you look around the room and we all just have one thing in common. We're alone and we're suicidal. And to answer the question why I felt like that, it's because I didn't know the things that I learned while I was checked in. Most of mental health isn't rocket science. We just weren't taught it. And I think it should be taught in schools right along math, English, science. Things like what to look for in yourself or your family or friends if they might be struggling. Coping mechanisms, healthy and unhealthy, how you emotionally react to your feelings. Boundaries, setting boundaries for yourself, for your relationships, for your job, having balance in life. Just taking care and loving yourself, things I had never heard of before, helped change and save my life. And that's why I'm trying to answer that question and tell you where I messed up and be able to share what I learned and try to help anyone struggling like I was or any of you listening or watching not get to that point. Because what I realized are two things. Do something if you're struggling, if you're hurting, if you're sad, you're depressed, you're anxious, you're suicidal, please do something. Reach out to someone you love. Talk to a trusted adult, your mom, your dad. Talk to family, friends, coaches, teammates, coworkers, people, friends, whoever. Just reach out to somebody because we can't do it alone. It is impossible to do it alone. When we bottle this stuff up, it makes it a million times worse. And the most important thing for me, feelings are temporary. I had no idea when I was 14 that I would ever be happy again. I thought it was the end of the world. Same thing 2 years ago when I was living my dream as a sports reporter and I was suicidal behind the scenes, behind that smile on TV every day. I thought that was the end of the world and I was never going to be happy again. But I was wrong. I had to do step one. I had to do something. I had to reach out for help, start going to therapy, check myself into a hospital. But I was able to be happy again because those feelings are temporary. But I had to do something about it. I don't even recognize the person that I used to be. Looking back at 2 years ago when I checked into that hospital, I'll never forget intake and like answering all the questions with a nurse and just collapsing to the floor, crying, realizing that, fuck, man, I'm lost. I don't know what to do, and I'm scared. But after 2 or 3 days, I started listening and learning and opening up and realizing that I can be happy and that I can take care of my mental health. It's something that didn't happen right away. It wasn't 2 weeks in a hospital and then I was all good, but I had the tools, what to look for, coping mechanisms, boundaries, how to love myself, all those things that I said weren't rocket science. We just weren't taught it. Your parents weren't taught it. Society just didn't know about most of it or didn't care about mental health because we had that stigma around it for ever. And I was able to take a step forward. It's crazy to me to look back on where I was at and how I felt. And so for anyone that feels that right now, know that I'm living proof that you can ask for help and you can feel better. Why was I suicidal? I was alone. And I just was tired of being tired. I spent so many nights crying, drinking, alone. I walked across a bridge by my house and thought about jumping so many times, sitting there listening to my favorite song, which helped me hold on, thinking about my mom and how I love her too much to put her through the pain of losing a child. But eventually those nights added up. And it turned into me waking up one day, crying my eyes out at 10 in the morning. And I wrote a goodbye letter. And I haven't really looked at this in a long, long time. And I don't even recognize this person. But I wrote to my ex and my mom on March 4th, 2022 at 11:43 a.m. Bye. I love you more than words can describe, but I'm sorry I gave up. I knew you'd know to check my notes after my mom figured out my phone code, and I'm really sorry that you two have to read this together. I couldn't do this anymore. I was in a lot of pain. No one could understand the amount of pain and struggling I've gone through being alone the last 15 years. Those words are how I felt. I thought that it would be better if I was gone. And reading that again, I don't even recognize that person. Because when we're depressed, when we're suicidal, we don't realize that those feelings are temporary, that the feelings aren't facts. And you just think that it's never going to get better. And so for me, this journey has been just emotional. It's been really, really hard, but it has been the best 2 years of my life looking back now, because it made me who I am today. I asked for help, and now I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life. For the first time ever, it started about 11 months ago, I truly feel happy being myself. And for a long time, I didn't feel like that. Since I was 14 and I was obsessed with the idea of finding a girlfriend and getting married one day and having a family, you know. I dated here and there, but I felt single, alone. And that's what fueled the depression the most over my entire life. I was just alone, and I dreamed of the perfect relationship and wife and family and life. And for years and years and years, that's all I ever wanted every single time I woke up. And that's what drove my depression and the suicidal thoughts, because I wanted love from someone else, but I really just wasn't loving myself. And if you don't love yourself first, you can't love someone else. And it took me 15 years of asking, why not me? Being jealous of every single couple. I hated going to weddings. Family parties, being the only single one. I've never gone on a couple's trip before with somebody. I've never celebrated the holidays with my girlfriend or wife. It gets old, man. It fucking sucks. And that's what fueled all of that depression, the anxiety, the suicidal thoughts, was just that feeling of being alone. But I learned through therapy, through self-reflection, through talking with other people that felt like me, you have to learn to love yourself and be okay being alone and being on your own before you can share that love with somebody else. And so I hope one day I find that and I do marry that dream woman and get the dream life that I've always wanted since I was, you know, 14 years old. But I'm okay on my own, and I'm happy by myself. And so for me, that has been something that took me a long, 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 my whole life to figure out. But now I can realize that, and it's changed my life. It's changed how I think about it. Now, I'll say this. If I feel uncomfortable being the third wheel, the fifth wheel, I take myself out of the situation. I used to drown my sorrows in alcohol and just try to get drunk to see past all of it. But like, if I'm the third, fifth, seventh wheel, and I'm not enjoying where I'm at, or I'm nervous, or I'm anxious, or I'm starting to feel that sadness creeping in, I'll just say I gotta leave. And I'll go do something that I love. I'll go listen to music. I'll go work out. I'll take that energy and try to turn it into something positive. And that's what I've realized through this whole journey. You have to find ways to turn that positivity or that negativity into positivity. And when you're suicidal and you're struggling, you don't think that's possible, but it is. And so this podcast has been life-changing for me, and it's been my therapy. I still go to therapy once a month and talk to my therapist and try to work on myself and better myself. But this podcast has completely changed my life. I just wanted to help anyone I could, but I'm also helping myself. And this feels like my true purpose. So I thank you to everyone that's supported me in my mental health journey and now the mental game. You know, I had this idea 2 years ago when I checked out of the hospital and went back to work and didn't have that same passion I used to as a sports reporter. And in therapy, me and my therapist were talking about what I wanted to do. And I said, well, what if I combine this newfound passion for mental health with my sports journalism career? And that's where the mental game was born. And to think this is what it's turned into, it's been amazing. Interviewing the biggest stars, the biggest athletes, the biggest musicians, and realizing it doesn't matter if you're playing in the Super Bowl, your songs are on the radio, you're in movies, every single one of us struggles. And we have to ask for help. And by telling our stories, we can help each other. And that's what I've realized from this podcast, from the tour. I've met thousands of people and had one-on-one conversations. And it's changed my life. And my favorite thing to hear whenever anyone comes up to me is I've never told anyone this before, or I've never said this out loud before. And they'll tell me that, just like me, they've thought about suicide and they are actively suicidal now. And I will sit there and have that conversation to hear their story, to tell them mine for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes. And I will work with them to ask for help, to look at the resources they have around them, whether it's their school, college, community, mental health nonprofits around them, the 988 hotline. Help them find that hope that I thought I could never find, but I have it now. Because you do matter. You can be happy again. You are not alone. And it breaks my heart every conversation. I've heard everything that you can ever imagine talking with people, from suicidal thoughts to rape, to assault, to self-harm, to any type of emotional, physical trauma. I've heard it all. And it breaks my heart every single time. But it tells me that when we tell our story, we can help each other, and that this podcast is helping people reach out for help and go to therapy maybe for the first time, or talk to family and friends, or have that conversation with their parents or coworkers for the first time about, hey, look, I'm not feeling right. I got to ask for help. I'm going through something. And that's what's powerful to me. That's why I do it. It's obviously so cool to sit down with big NFL stars or celebrities or people on TV. And that's why we're able to help so many people by telling our stories, hearing their stories on the show. But my favorite thing to do is those one-on-one conversations where people tell me their story and I try to help them the best that I can. Again, I've said it a bunch. I don't even recognize the person that I used to be, but I'm so proud of the person I've became. I thought I was always going to be suicidal and that I would never want to live. But I realized I could be happy again. I reached out for help, and now I'm the person that I never thought I could be. And I love myself. I'm happy. And I want to help anyone that I can. So please, please, please hold on to hope if you're struggling like I was. You are not alone, and you can be happy again. I'm living proof. I am living proof that when you ask for help, when you work on yourself, you don't give up, it can get better. But you always have to work on your mental health. It's not something that's just you won. No, we got to always, always keep working on our mental health. And that's what I try to preach. It's what I try to practice. And that's my journey. I didn't cry as much as I thought I would. So I'm thankful for that. You get kind of numb talking about the worst day of your life every day, on stage or on a podcast or on an interview, but it still does hurt and it's hard to talk about sometimes. But again, when we tell our stories, we can help each other. So I just want to thank you for listening to mine and all of you for helping me on my journey. I got some big things coming up. I am moving to Los Angeles to bring the mental game to Hollywood and have the biggest stars on to help tell their stories and help as many people as possible. It's scary, exciting. I'm nervous. I'm ready. I'm booking so many guests. I'm so excited. I'm moving out June 1st. But again, looking back on where I was at 2 years ago, I never knew this was any part of my journey. I didn't know that I'd ever be doing this, but I'm so thankful that I am, because it feels like my true purpose. And so I can promise you I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep my foot on the gas, even if, you know, I don't got a lot of money in the bank, even if I got to eat PB&Js out in LA to make those interviews happen. I'm going to do it. Because my goal is to save lives, and I've seen us do that, and I think we've been able to help thousands, tens of thousands of people. I want to help millions. I want to be a difference maker in mental health. So I'm excited. I can't wait. It's crazy to look back on, but I'm excited. So yeah, I hope I answered that question. Why was I suicidal? I think I did. And if it's something that you ask yourself and you're asking yourself right now, why do I feel this way? Please know that you can reach out for help. You can go to therapy. You can talk to family and friends. You can self-reflect. You can feel better and be happy again. So to anyone struggling out there, just know that it is possible. I love you and keep fighting. You got this. Thank you guys so much for listening to my story. And I'm excited to keep the mental game going. So we'll see you right back here next week with a very special guest interview on the mental game.